When Steve was blown out of the truck in Vietnam, he woke to a lifetime of severe pain. Decades later, he discovered relief in the CBD from a family farmer in Slovenia. Steve's relief from a life of pain leads us to ask, can the CBD in cannabis bring true relief?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,062nd edition of the Food Chain right here in the GCN Radio Network. Or, hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Perryopolis who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Struby on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Greetings.
Hey, Jason, do you think, you know, we can get real pain relief from cannabis?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
You think so?
I think we can get real good pain relief.
Okay. Also with us today, we have our guest producer, Les Israelo. What do you think, Les? You think it may happen?
I think so, and it's growing all the time.
Okay, folks. My good friend Steve was blown out of a truck in Vietnam and woke in a hospital to a life of severe pain. Nothing the VA medicine had to offer, the pharmaceuticals, the surgeries, and therapies, could relieve Steve's pain. So he bore that pain and went about his career piloting helicopters and business jets. Grit the teeth and fly. But finally, the pain overwhelmed, so the doctors installed a pain pump in Steve's body and filled it with different kinds of opiate-based pain relief medications and muscle relaxers. The pharmaceuticals did bring relief, but the drowsiness offended the former pilot's razor-sharp sensitivities, and so Steve went looking elsewhere for relief, all the while accompanied by his pain pump. When he heard about the medical marijuana, he decided to give it a try and so got his card and visited a local dispensary where he purchased the medicine. But Steve found that that kind of medicine, that medical marijuana, was more drug-induced drowsiness and so kept on looking for something else. Then he found a connection to a family farmer of CBD cannabis in faraway Slovenia. And ordered some of the family's CBD chocolates. It's amazing, Steve says. When the pain overwhelms, I take a few milligrams of CBD, and after a few minutes, no pain and no druggy drowsiness. That pain relief Steve found in the CBD cannabis from far-off Slovenia leads us to ask, can the CBD cannabinoid of cannabis bring true relief from pain? So this is the third in a series of conversations we've had about medical marijuana. On the first show lesson I put together, we learned that cannabis is forever condemned to being a Class 1 narcotic by the Single Convention Treaty signed back in, I think it was 1959. And second thing in the second show that we learned that in spite of it being a Class 1 narcotic, a lot of states throughout the United States are saying to heck with it and we're going to start our own cannabis business. And an industry is developing based on that Class 1 narcotic. Today, we're going to go in search of true pain relief from a different kind of cannabis, a cannabis that was selected for a different kind of cannabinoid than the THC that we traditionally go for. So we have some very interesting people joining us today. So buckle your seatbelt, grab a cup of coffee, sit down and relax and tune into this one. We're going to start off with my good friend Steve Alexander, who's a retired pilot and CBD patient. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good.
Glad to be there.
So, Steve, a quick point of reference. Steve and I met each other just after we both returned from Vietnam, and we're trying to figure out how to become citizens again. Steve had a little handicap in that regard because in Vietnam he was blown out of a truck and ended up in a hospital in Japan and been recovering ever since. So would tell us a little bit about your career after that. You, in spite of all that pain, you went on to become a pilot, right?
Well, yes, eventually. It took me nearly 9 years to become employable in anything, to be honest with you. I started off by, when I got out, going to just doing odd jobs and found that I physically couldn't do them. And eventually, I got wounded initially in 1967. In 1971, they gave me my first back operation. And it was supposed to be a help, and it actually turned out to be a hindrance. I, from that point, basically struggled with doing anything I could in order to get money. Then I found out that I could use the VA benefits to fly. So I got my license, and by a, I don't know, we'll just say a stroke of good luck, I got a job as a helicopter pilot. I ended up flying for 17 years and actually got turned down for jobs because of my back. They were afraid that they would become a liability.
Yeah.
I would be a liability to them. And then I went on to fly jets, doing freight. And then I lost my license. I've been stumbling around. I've had two more back operations since then. I met a doctor that told me about the centrifugal pain pump that they put in you. This pump is situated in my lower left abdominal wall, and it has a tube that runs around and enters my spine about T11, and basically it's like a epidural that women have when they give birth. It just dribbles this medicine onto my spinal cord. That gave a lot of relief, but it didn't do away with the nagging pain and the inability to have any enjoyment in life.
Well, you know, Steve and I, over the years, have been conversing on via phone and whatnot, and so we're very accustomed to his voice. And, you know, we have conversations about flying airplanes because we're both pilots. And so we have long conversations and tell stories about flying. And when you put that pain pump in, I detected that in your voice because your voice started to slur and slow down and become kind of confused. And then one day you called up and you were crystal clear. And so that, to me, is when I woke up to the fact that you were onto something else, and that's going to be the subject of our show, is how you found that relief in spite of in a very interesting place in the world. And that place was Slovenia, and so with that, we're going to introduce your Steve's family farmer up there in Slovenia. We've got Matt Rovac on the line. I'm sure I pronounced that, Matt. Matt is Skyping in from Slovenia, which is tucked into a corner of the world just east of Austria and Italy, as I understand. Is that right, Matt?
Yes, it is, Michael. Thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, okay, so first of all, you're a family farmer in Slovenia. You're growing cannabis. Is it legal to grow cannabis in Slovenia?
It's legal to grow hemp, which is industrial cannabis, but it's not legal to grow cannabis that makes you high, which is THC-rich cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's perfectly legal to have a hemp farm.
So is there a member of the government that goes around and tests for the amount of THC you have in your hemp? How does the government know how much THC you're growing?
And I lost you in the middle of your question.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Please repeat it.
How does the government know how much THC is in your hemp?
All hemp is produced from seeds that are tested before. So every seed comes from farm with the seed farm that actually has all of that covered with all the documents and everything. So the way the hemp gets grown is from a seed that don't have much, if any, THC in it. So yes, there's small amounts of THC in it, but it's within the legal boundaries, which is below 0.2%.
Okay, good. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to meet Michael Bax, who's the author of The Cannabis Pharmacy, A Practical Guide to Medical Marijuana. And we're going to ask him what the difference is between all of the different strains of cannabis and why some have THC and others have very little THC, and the difference between all of those. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, medical marijuana, the real pain relief in cannabis. Right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Well, what do you think out there? Can the CBD cannabinoid of cannabis bring true relief from pain? That's the subject on the desk today. And with us, we have also Michael Bax, who is the author of The Cannabis Pharmacy, The Practical Guide to Medical Marijuana. Michael, got a quick question for you. How did a movie maker like you end up writing a book about medical marijuana?
I was a cannabis patient. I had a form of migraine that really responded to one of the ingredients of cannabis and found relief. But I had a science background and really got interested in the potential application of cannabis to a lot of different conditions. But I couldn't find a lot of people who really had kind of translated the science out there for patients. So I got into it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, having written a book about the practical guide, how many practical uses are there for medical marijuana?
Dozens, with different levels of efficacy. I mean, there's a wide range of effect caused by cannabis for different diseases and illnesses. And understanding dose and understanding what kind of cannabis you're using and what's in that cannabis really affects the outcome.
Well, in putting this series together on medical marijuana, I come to believe that a lot of people really aren't too aware of the different kinds of THC that are, or cannabinoids that are involved with cannabis. There are over 100 different cannabinoids in cannabis, and we select for one of them. And that's typically been THC, right?
Right. So the thing is that while there are 100 cannabinoids in cannabis, there are basically 5 classes of cannabinoids, and 2 of those have been studied extensively, THC and CBD, tetrahydrocannabinol in the case of THC, and cannabidiol in the case of CBD. Mm-hmm. And the difference primarily between them is THC is psychoactive. In other words, it gets you high or it can create a stone. And CBD, which does not. And they're also synergistic with each other. They interact with each other and actually improve how the other works.
Oh, one works better with the other?
Exactly. So one of the few approved prescription cannabis medicines in Europe is called Sativex, and it's a 50-50 mix of CBD and THC.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Matt in Slovenia. Matt, you make a tincture and you make chocolates, and do you find the same to be true that the best blend of these two cannabinoids is 50-50?
Well, we find to be true that the best thing to do is not to isolate any of the cannabinoids from the plant and just use the isolated cannabinoid. We are finding out that the way the tincture or the way that one cannabinoid works best is with the in conjunction with all the other that are from the plant. But that's not necessarily 50-50. What we found out is that since it's hard for people to actually get their hands on the THC tinctures, because it's mostly illegal, and in the states that allow it, you have to be a cardholder and so on and so forth. So it's really much easier for them to sort of start with the CBD option of the with drops or tinctures or medicine. And those drops usually have a very small amount of THC in it, but they do have a small amount still. And what we found out is that a lot of our clients, a lot of our patients, if you want to call them patients, even with cancer problems, they come out in about 6 months cancer-free. And that's with very, very low levels of THC in the medicine. So it's mostly CBD and super low levels, which is below 0.2% THC. And we're finding out that these low levels of THC,
you're still there,
seems to be enough. So you don't have to be high because you're taking the medicine. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we're still there. Folks, we're on Skype from Slovenia, so we'll have a little give and take here, so bear with us. And this is Matt Hrovac from Slovenia, who is...
Yes, I'm sorry if...
Go right ahead, you're on.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm breaking up because we're halfway around the world. So anyway, I hope you got that.
Yes,
that
we did.
We're finding out from the feedback of all of our clients, and also from people that are not our clients, but they still use CBD tincture, CBD oils, or even CBD paste with low levels of THC.
Right. Gotcha. Let's go back to Steve.
That those low levels seems to work just fine, so there's no need for high levels.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, Matt. Let's go to Michael Bax and ask him the question about these different strains of cannabis. We know that of the genus cannabis, there are three different kinds. One is sativa, one is indica, and the other is ruderalis. Which is which? Which does which, Michael?
Well, it's actually easier. Science today is actually showing that the designations of sativa, indica, and ruderalis aren't that useful for patients. What's interesting for patients is whether or not that particular variety of cannabis produces the enzyme that converts a precursor into either THC or into CBD, or some combination. And so typically, the varieties of cannabis that are grown for fiber use, what we call hemp, don't produce THC or produce very, very low levels of it. And then the drug cannabis varieties that are grown for their THC content, they produce the high levels of THC. And it really just has to do with an enzyme that the plant produces that converts these precursors into either THC or CBD. So that's how we kind of divide them up.
Right, and the divisions were kind of along the lines of cultural selection, right? These different strains of cannabis were selected for different things over long periods of time. I think back to the days of Hassan ibn Sabah and the Hashishans in the Crusades. And
actually even earlier. So, apparently, human beings have been lugging around cannabis since the end of the last ice age, about 12,500 years ago. And there's archaeological evidence from as disparate places as Siberia and Japan that supports this idea that human beings have been using cannabis for fiber, food, and medicine for literally tens of thousands of years. And
well,
so, go ahead.
Michael Bax, a quick question as the author of the Cannabis Pharmacy. Has there been any... double-blind medical studies on the efficacy of medical marijuana?
Oh, sure. There have been several now. They're all pretty small, with the exception of the Sativex study, that the spray I was talking about that's equal parts THC, CBD. Mm-hmm. It's gone all the way through the third stage of clinical trials, the large-scale clinical trials. And so a lot of them have been small-scale, and the reason is very, very difficult to study cannabis in the West, or in the East for that matter. And so most of the human studies have been relatively small. There's an enormous amount of in vitro studies, of cell studies, and animal studies that support its medical efficacy. And what we're going to see is, as the laws start to change in the United States and around the world, you're going to see a lot more research done. The good news is that the preliminary research in humans is very promising. It has limits, as does any research or any drug, but it's a very safe drug if properly applied.
Well, okay, folks, we've got us a show about medical marijuana, and we're tracking down the real medicine of cannabis in hopes of finding relief from pain. Steve Alexander, retired Learjet pilot, helicopter pilot, found it. From the CDB Cannabis, from Matt Rovac of Slovenia, who is a family farmer and host of CuredByNature.org, at which you can buy some medical marijuana right there. Also, Michael Bax, who is the author of The Cannabis Pharmacy, The Practical Guide to Medical Marijuana. And, of course, you. Can cannabis really bring true pain relief? Oh, if it can, think of the immense consequence on the medical industry. Do stay tuned right back. Welcome back, folks. We're looking for pain relief in cannabis, of all places. And we have with us a fellow who found that pain relief, Steve Alexander, friend from way back when we both came back from Vietnam. And Steve, unfortunately, had the experience of being blown out of a truck in Vietnam and has suffered severe pain throughout his lifetime since then. And was always looking for a way out of pain. Steve, we were talking about the pain pump that the VA inserted inside of your body. So that, how did that work?
How did the pump itself work?
Yes, I mean, when you experienced pain, did you just, or did it always drip medications onto your spine, or did you initiate it, or what?
No, it's all set up automatically. They program it when I go in for what I call pump maintenance. And it holds 40 cc's of liquid medicine.
What was the medicine?
It's hydromorphone, baclofen, and clonidine. And when I first started, they started me on morphine, and I kind of outgrew that. As far as outgrew, it's a poor word for my pain was just too much for that. So they.
Your pain was too much for morphine?
Yes. I have not had anything resembling pain free for the last 49 years. And the pain level got to a point that was the only thing that I could concentrate on, was to try to get it to go away or to do something to get relief.
Well, the first thing you did, you know, beyond the pain pump was you started looking for medical marijuana. What led you to head in that direction?
When the state of, can I say the state I live in?
Go ahead, yeah.
When the state of Oregon legalized cannabis, and they were starting to put it in stores, that was one of the selling points on it, was that it could be used for medical purposes. So after it became legal and the dispensaries got in motion, I went down, applied for my medical marijuana license, and went and bought some CBD that the person at the dispensary told me that it was a CBD that took care of the pain and that it didn't have much THC in it. Well, I found that to be incorrect. It would have like 85 milligrams of THC to 35 or 40 grams of CBD. And so they
what was the experience of your body to that kind of dosage?
When I got a little bit of pain relief, but then I went immediately to sleep. I couldn't function on those levels of THC, and so I started looking online, and I found curedbynature.org. I still can't tell you why I did it, but I bought some of their tincture and their chocolates and have been living a nearly normal life since.
Tell us the experience of taking the CBD. What form do you take?
We get it in tinctures and in edible chocolates. The tinctures is depending on what your pain levels are. You can take anywhere from 5 drops to 20 drops. 20 drops equals a milliliter. And when you take it, it's like taking any pain medicine. It's not an instant bang that goes the pain. But usually within about 30 minutes, the pain just kind of dissolved in the background. And all of that energy I was using to fight my pain is now mine to use.
Wow.
So there's no drowsiness with it. It's gone. This is the most pain relief I've had in 49 years. And I find if I take it regularly, my body reacts to lower doses of it.
Now, does it make you stoned? I mean, do you become intoxicated?
No, not in any way at all.
Wow. So you're finding real, true pain relief after 49 years.
Yes.
Of severe pain.
Yes.
What does your doctor say?
He just looks at me and shakes his head. But I've had my pain pump turned down by nearly 60% in the course of the last 6 months. And I'm doing just fine. Before I started the CBD, not only did I have this pain pump, but I was being prescribed 32 milligrams of hydromorphone orally a day. Plus, a muscle relaxant that they expected me to take upward to 4,000 milligrams a day of. And I took 3,000 milligrams a day of a medicine called Neurontin for neuropathy, and I no longer take any of that oral medicine. And my pain pump turned down.
Wow. So when you called after you had begun this regime, and I heard your voice, and you were clear as a bell, and I knew something different was happening. And then when Les and I were putting together these shows, you emailed me and said, "Hey, dummy, look at me. Look what's happening to me." And so there we are. Well, let's go off to Slovenia.
And if I could make...
Yeah, go ahead.
The reason... people get the CBD from the marijuana plant versus the hemp plant mixed up. And your show was, in my opinion, initially had started giving the wrong impression. I may say that.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, and thank you for sharing your experience. My goodness. Matt, there in Slovenia.
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you get this often? Do you get people saying this often?
Yes, we do. It's actually people come to us, giving CBD another try, like for the fifth time. They've bought it elsewhere or something, and we get a lot of clients say that, you know, they're surprised how our CBD works and the other stuff didn't work.
Well, what's the difference? What's the difference between your CBD and other CBD. I guess we're going to have to take a quick break. But when we come back, that's going to be the question I would like to ask you. Also,
okay,
want to
sure.
know, pretty sure I heard you say that you're noticing people being cured of cancer. You know, people, if you say that in the United States, people are going to shoot you or take you to jail or something like that. So want to follow up on that notion with you and Steve Alexander and Michael Bax, the author of Cannabis Pharmacy. Amazing stuff. Can we find true pain relief from a plant that we've been playing with for many, many years? And maybe we've been, you know, looking at the wrong THC. Maybe we've been playing with the wrong THC. This is The Food Chain, Michael Olson. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, when my friend Steve was blown out of a truck way back there in Vietnam, he woke to a lifetime of severe pain. 49 years of severe pain. Then he discovered relief from the CBD from a family farmer in Slovenia. And Matt Horvath, you are a family farmer, are you not? Are you there, Matt?
Yes, we have a farm with some friends. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, we have a family farm together with some friends, which inherited the farm. So, one of those two friends, Kit, was down with epilepsy because of the vaccination.
Epilepsy. There you go. Are you there? Folks, we're talking with
and
Matt Horvath.
I came there to talk about other stuff. We were doing some other business. Why not introduce your 3-year-old with CBD tincture, and let's see if that works? Because I was just finding out that it works for so much and cancer and everything, and I found out it also works for epilepsy. And as it happens, I also have a sister with epilepsy. So with that, in that conversation, I say, hey, wait a minute. I'm talking about your son, and my sister comes second.
Little Skype.
Or something. Wait a minute. I have a sister with epilepsy. So, of course, I'm going to try it with her as well. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
I'm sorry, guys. Okay. So, yeah, we started growing hemp. CBD rich hemp, and we started extracting the CBD out of and all
little Skype
all the other cannabinoids from the CBD rich hemp, and here we are.
Well, Matt, let me ask you a question. How is it that you know how to mix?
Am I breaking up
a little bit? You're doing fine. How is it that you know how to mix this stuff up to get good results? Steve had good results with your tinctures, not so good results with other tinctures. How do you know how to be a good cannabis cook?
Actually, Michael, it depends on the strain that grows, that we're growing. So we're not mixing anything. We're just growing CBD-rich plants, and then we're extracting everything from that plant. And it just comes with all the cannabinoids that's in the plant. And the CBD has a large proportion, like 40%.
Okay, so there you are. You've got the right plants. You're like somebody growing wine and the green thumb, too, right? That helps as well.
Exactly.
Is it true that cannabis heals cancer? I mean, you really saying that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's evidence all over the web, all over the internet, and there's testimonials of people that they show their scans, their bodies with cancer, and then 6 months later they show the new scan.
So it actually does work.
It's without the cancer. And whether they were having CBD rich oil, or they were having THC rich oil, or the
combination. Well, thank you.
In any case, the cannabis plant did the job. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Matt. Let's go to Michael Bax, the author of Cannabis Pharmacy. Michael, have you ever heard of such a thing as cannabis curing cancer?
Yeah, there's some preclinical research that supports cannabis and anti-tumor activity. The key with cannabis and cancer is that it's extremely important to understand that cancer is not one disease. It's maybe 500 different diseases. And the choice of cannabinoid for a particular tumor is incredibly important. Certain cannabinoids can have an anti-tumor activity on one cancer and can have a pro-tumor activity on another kind of cancer. So you have to really choose carefully. In February 2015, the FDA sent out 15 warning letters to CBD manufacturers, telling them to stop making claims about cannabis and cancer, or they'd shut them down. And it had a real chilling effect on companies in the United States, because the FDA gives you one warning, and then they just shut you down. And so my feeling about cannabis and cancer is it's an incredibly promising medicine with some real potential benefit, but we have to be really, really careful about saying cannabis is a cancer cure, because that crosses the line into quackery.
Yeah, and here in the United States, you can't really say things like that without having clinical proof, which is the double-blind studies and everything, and we don't have any of that because it's illegal. It's hard to come by. It's difficult to come up with the studies. So,
but there are research studies going on with cannabis and cancer right now, clinical studies. And the thing is that some of them look pretty promising, but it's like with any disease state. It's going to work for some people. It may not work for other people. And in the case of cancer, you really have to choose carefully.
And how do you choose carefully when there's no information? Or do you have all that information in your book?
I have some of the information in the book, but honestly, the research is very, very preliminary. So, I mean, like with any disease, if you hear that it's, you know, we've been curing cancer in mice for 50 years, okay? There's an enormous amount of research out there that shows that various compounds can have very, very strong anti-tumor effects, but those don't always translate to people. And so we just have to look at it with a skeptical eye.
Okay, hold that question. Hold that thought. We're going to come back. And when I come back, I want to ask you the big question. How do we go about realizing the potential of medical marijuana? Do stay tuned.
Jump.
Well, folks, you can, or at least Steve Alexander, found significant... Steve, are you pulling our leg? Did you really find that much relief from CBD cannabis that you purchased in tincture form and chocolate form from Matt Horvath through curedbynature.com, all the way from Sloveni? Did you really find relief, or are you just pulling our leg?
No, I found real relief. I can actually enjoy great periods in my day now. I still have to be reasonable, but I don't lay around depressed because I can't do something.
Wow. Michael Bax, how far can we take this when cannabis is still classified as a class one narcotic, totally in the control of the government?
Well, I mean, the good news is that, you know, more than half the states in the United States have now passed medical cannabis laws. And when you have a severe condition like Steve's, in a lot of states, you can get access today to medical cannabis. And the good news is that, you know, when you have a syndrome like Steve has where you've got, you know, anxiety, depression, and pain as a combination, well, the truth is opioids don't really address all three of those, while medical cannabis, in particular CBD, will. CBD is great for anxiety and depression, and the studies kind of support that right now. And then its use in certain kinds of pain have been shown to be effective as well. So I think it's a good choice for a lot of people, provided, you know, they get some good professional health care advice to go along with it.
But can we come to grips with the medical studies that we really need to do to unlock the potential of CBD and THC and whatever, while the plant is still a class one narcotic? And I mean,
we're seeing the government back down now. I mean, really, Nora Volkow, who's the head of the National Institute of Drug Abuse, has said recently that more studies have to be conducted with CBD. And that's just kind of a sea change, because just a few years ago, The government was really, really anti-cannabis research. And in the last 18 months, they've kind of turned the boat, if not 180 degrees around, about 100 degrees around. And so we're actually seeing the resistance towards cannabis research in the U.S. government stop.
Do you think you will see it cease altogether? Or, I mean, we still have to overcome the fact that we signed this international treaty. Every nation in the world except six signed a treaty relegating cannabis to a class one narcotic.
Right, and the good news is it's in that treaty. There's a clear and unambiguous exception for medical and research use. And so that's what we'll embrace.
There you go. Matt Horvath, what do you think over there in Slovenia, way over there? And yet your family farmer Slovenia,
we're
you're selling
also
here.
Seeing can you?
Go ahead, you're on.
Okay, just to correct you a little bit, it's curedbynature.org and not .com. Anyways, yeah. Well, we have a website, and we're selling actually all over the world as well as locally, because there's a need for this everywhere. And, yeah, we're also seeing a progress here as well as around the world that people are starting to become aware that medical marijuana as well as the actual hemp plant is very medicinal. So, you know, people are very happy about this, that they can get their hands on some medical
some medicine that isn't pharmaceuticals, right? We're out of time right now, but I want to thank Steve Alexander, retired pilot, helicopters and Learjets, and a CBD patient. Matt Horvath, Slovenia CBD cannabis farmer and host of curedbynature.org. And Michael Backus, author of Cannabis Pharmacy, The Practical Guide to Medical Marijuana. Thank you all.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.